As is printed, my sermon title is Salvation. So I'm going to talk a bit about salvation. And of course, some of us may have the benefit of receiving Richard's email, and there was a lot of research done there. I hope my words have meaning for you today. What do we mean when we speak of salvation? What does it mean? How do we experience the reality of salvation? These questions have been concerns of mine through the years. When I was a child, my first encounter with the notion of salvation was through the religious education I received from the Roman Catholic Church. As I remember it, I was taught that salvation, to be saved, was only through the Church. All others were lost, and that salvation meant being saved from my sins so that I would avoid the terror of hell. Fear was the predominant emotion that I connected to this notion of salvation. For me, there was a disconnect between this idea of salvation and the perception I had of this Jesus the Christ, this Savior, one who heals and cures for his people, the one whom preached love and compassion for every human being. I know that there are many people who have come from various traditions who have also had, at some point in their lives, had difficulty with this notion of salvation. In her book, Executing God, Rethinking Everything You've Been Taught About Salvation and the Cross, Sharon Barker, who came from a Southern Baptist fundamentalist background, writes, "What if Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger son demanded his inheritance from his father, left home, squandered it, and returned home, admitting to his father that he had sinned and begging for forgiveness. The father responded, I cannot simply forgive you for what you have done. You have insulted my honor by your wild living. Simply to forgive would be to trivialize your sin. Justice, forgiveness, and reconciliation cannot occur unless the penalty of your sin is paid. Either you must be punished or you must pay back the honor you stole from me. The older brother spoke up, telling his father he would pay the debt of his younger brother. The brother worked day and night to pay the debt until he died of exhaustion. The father's wrath was finally placated against the younger brother, and they lived happily until the end of their days. If the parable had read like this, traditional Christian theories of salvation and atonement would make much more sense. Now, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. That's a transliteration of the Hebrew. From that name comes the name Joshua. And the name Jesus is a derivative of Joshua. Hence, Jesus the Savior. In the Hebrew Testament, the word Yeshua, salvation, is used in a variety of ways, with a root meaning of to make wide, unbinding that which is constrained. God makes wide that which binds us. Evil and endangered were regarded as narrowing conditions, and God could make wide a path to safety. God is the shield of salvation. Salvation was victory for those in trouble and rescue from evil enemies. In Exodus, salvation was liberation and deliverance from slavery and from slavery. It was freedom. In the scripture reading of Psalm 91, God provides shelter and will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from deadly pestilence. Under his wings you will find refuge. You will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day. God is the protector in battle. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life I will satisfy them. In Job Salvation is seen as restoration, as a lot of post-exilic writings saw salvation. Restoration of health and prosperity. In the New Testament, the Greek word sozo or soteria is used for salvation. And just a little note here, the English root of the word salvation is sal, which is a healing ointment. Hence the theological term soteriology, the study of salvation. The range of meaning in the Greek is physical safety, cure or healing from illness, rescue and liberation, to keep alive, keep in good health, preserve well-being, and develop wholeness or peace. William Barclay writes, the most common meaning for salvation in the New Testament is bodily health. In our New Testament reading, we have a picture of the multitude gathering, so that all who had diseases pressed upon him to touch him. And as the song lyric goes, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. There are many gospel stories that depict Jesus healing. Jesus was a healer. He restored life. He showed us how to live that new life. His life showed us the way of salvation in healing and forgiving, which restores relationships, in resisting the return of evil for evil, but rather returning evil with the assertion of one's humanity and dignity as a person who has been made whole. We are liberated from resentment, deliverance from self-centeredness, healed of our disease of conceit, and made whole that we may know peace. Now, I would also like to say what salvation is not. Salvation is not a logical premise, but is by the grace of God. It is not a static commodity that can be dispensed nor withheld, but is the process by which we are liberated from our misused and dysfunctional humanity, whereby we are restored to harmony of function that God intended by allowing the fullness of our being to express the divine nature within us. We do not see salvation at work. Where do we see salvation at work in our present day world? I see it at the infusion center, where people with all kinds of diseases are being cared for, where kindness and respect for each other is displayed by patients and staff alike. I see it at work in my neighbor, who with years of sobriety has become a kind and caring person who no longer is angry and belligerent. I see it at work in the Charleston community, where forgiveness abounds in the midst of tragedy. I see it in the business community, when corporate concern is for the well-being of its workforce and not just the bottom line. I see it when the community gathers its resources so that homeless people might have shelter and refuse to see people as a blight on their community. I see salvation at work when nations see other nations as worthy of dignity, no matter their economic or political status in the world, working for peaceful solutions to their problems. I see it when those who have much of our worldly goods do not claim ownership over it, but see their wealth as a gift that is to be shared for the well-being of all. Salvation is at work when the people who congregate to worship, no matter their religious tradition, are open to all, the outcasts, the lonely, the fearful, the destitute, and refuse to see salvation as something they possess, as a display of their own purity. Salvation is at work when we care for the planet that we call home, so that our children and future generations will be safe at home. Salvation is a communal as well as an individual process, as attested to in both the New Testament, Hebrew Testament and the New Testament. It is a gift from God and not something to be hoarded away for self-preservation. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. This to me is the work of salvation, both for the recipient and the one who is able to provide. Let us pray. Lord, let the one we call the Savior, the Christ, dwell within us so that the work of salvation may be realized here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.